Oh,
So.
I have to say that are pretty boring hot dogs you have eaten.
Oh, really? Pretty boring hot dogs. Well, what happened to being a. What's wrong with being a simple griff? Take
It's
some
pretty
hot dog.
boring. There are not even onions or it or pickles,
Yeah,
just sauce and a lot of sauce.
I just woke up. You got to realize I work all night, so I go to nest about. Oh, I go to nest about 6 a.m. and I wake up at 2 p.m. So, yeah. Things I do for you guys. Yeah. So I just slap some sauce on there and voila. You know, putting onions and shit on there means I actually have to do work and chop and cry and Do onions make you cry, Fleeks?
Depends on the onion and depends what I do with the onion.
I don't know about you guys, but the weather has been utterly atrocious. I think by me and where I nest, which is in Chicagoland, I think this is going to be a really bad winter because, let's see, they're a couple weeks into winter and we've already had three decent snowstorms. We're going to have another snowstorm Friday night into Saturday here. The weather has dropped below 0 4 times. Had a wind chill of negative 20 last night. And Saturday, we're supposed to have a wind chill of almost negative 30
Welcome to Canada.
Fahrenheit. It's so cold that if I touch the exterior walls of my nest, which were 1940, my hands are freezing. So the insulation, whatever they used in 1940, cannot keep up. So I literally have my furnace running nonstop, as well as a space heater safely, you know, set up in the room I am on and at all times. It's miserable, utterly miserable. What about you guys?
Okay, sorry, I'm waking up, I promise. It's been a surprisingly warm winter here in Utah, and that's actually kind of disturbing on many levels. Like, usually, we have a lot of snow by this time of year, and usually, I'm grumpy in comparing Utah to miniature Canada. But it's last night at 2 in the morning, I was walking out around outside without a jacket on. It was just that warm enough that I could still do that.
And that's kind of crazy because last year was the exact opposite for us in Chicago. We got maybe three or four notable snow events. Aside from that, I remember in January walking around with just a light jacket on, and we hadn't even had any snow. It was crazy. It's like Mother Nature decided to yin yang this year.
That's global warming is taking a very real effect this year.
What about you, Fleeks? How's the weather by you?
It's okay.
Oh,
It's okay. That's all. Just
that's it. Yeah, it's
it's been
not
nice. It rained last week.
freezingly cold. It's like can go outside without freezing and but we had like my minus 20 degree last time. But at a degree Celsius, because I don't know how much that is
That's
Fahrenheit.
still a
And
lot. That's still like negative 12 Fahrenheit for us, I believe, or something close to it. I might be way
it's
off.
minus 4 Fahrenheit. Minus 4 Fahrenheit. And
Well,
so minus Fahrenheit are like terribly low.
yeah, that's really cold. What kind of winter, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do during the winter time for entertainment? Do you ski? Do you snowboard? Do you have any good attractions over there?
I'm way too scared to do anything like skiing
Skying.
or snowboarding because I would be afraid to drop on my ass. Sorry, I still need to wake up.
Well, we have a fun sport over here by me. It's called driving. And whenever it snows, especially in Chicagoland, it is absolutely insane. It's sort of like playing bumper cars, only with, you know, vehicles that range anywhere from $500 to $50,000 and up. And since I live on the Indiana side of the border, what frequently happens is when I'm in Illinois working or whatnot, the roads are okay because they have like 700 snow plows for just Chicago alone. And then you hit Indiana where we're nothing but a bunch of tightwads, and we go from, okay, this road is tolerable, to my God, I'm on an ice skating ring. Okay, now I'm sliding all the way home. And
yeah, that's when you want to invest in something with four-wheel drive.
Well, four-wheel drive, yeah, four-wheel drive will help you go through a snowbank, but it will not help you with traction, and it won't help you stop any faster. I mean, winter tires will help you a bit, but still, if you're on actual ice, you're pretty much shit out of luck.
I always recommend first big snowfall of the year, go find a giant empty parking lot and then just go have fun and go do donuts, go slip, slide around. That way you kind of get your feel for like winter and, you know, sliding and stuff.
Yes.
I've had a few incidents the past couple of years. Where one instance I actually ended up facing oncoming traffic because I just spun. Like, I wasn't even doing anything. I wasn't going abnormally fast. I didn't, you know, jerk my wheel or anything. It was just, I hit a patch of black ice and all of a sudden I was going sideways. And then all of a sudden I was facing oncoming traffic and I was like, well, this is happening.
I don't drive.
It wasn't heavy oncoming traffic, thankfully, but, you know, I could see the faces of the drivers and the oncoming vehicles, and they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the worst driving-related incident I had was after a major snow incident in the state on the 8094, if anyone that's listening to this from Chicago area, you know what I'm talking about. The state of Indiana had finished plowing the hell out of this, and it's interesting because what'll happen is on the county lines, they'll switch snow plow patterns. So you'll be on the right lane and suddenly they'll just have decided to stop plowing that lane at the county lane for no reason. It just stops. So everyone shifts over lanes to keep on the plowed. And there was this patch of road. They ripped the patch, the pothole cover off. So there was now this gaping pothole I didn't see.
Oh,
and
boy.
I was driving a Ford Explorer at the time. My front left tire went into it, bounced out, but it went down just long enough to grab my little SUV and whip me around 180 to the point I just about caused a FedEx semi-truck driver to shit his pants. So that was a fun experience because being whipped around like, you know, you had core, it can be terrifying, especially on the interstate where everyone's still going too fast. And then you've got to somehow get your car going in the correct direction again. Pretty much the only time, I don't know about you guys, but, so maybe you can answer this, but the only time people in Chicago actually go the posted speed limit on like our expressways and whatnot is when the weather's awful.
Pretty much. So this is episode 9 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I'm the Black Griffin.
It's cold. I need my blanket. All right. So as we crack open our beers this week and get ready to introduce them, I also want to ask what do you do during wintertime to keep yourself entertained and keep yourself from going stir crazy?
What do you go to drink? beer.
Okay, yes, fair enough.
Lots of booze. Lots and lots of booze.
That is a very English answer. I would expect that from, like, Britain, not Germany. Well, I guess Germany, too. Yeah.
No. The difference between Britain and Germany is the Brits just get shit-faced and go out and slug it out at the pub. The Germans will go and, you know, drink, you know, 5 liters of alcohol and then have this genius idea for an invention. And next thing you know, they've cured some problem we've had for generations because they were just drunk and got bored.
I'm drinking Occulto. It is a lager that is infused with blue agave and aged in tequila barrels.
It's good stuff. I'm drinking, I'm going Belgian today. My first beer is a Duvel. I don't really know how to pronounce it. I'm not good in French or whatever that language is. But it's it's spelled D-O-V-E-L. Duvel, I think. Duvel. Something like that. Yeah. And then I have another Belgian beer, and it's called Chouffée or something. It's another Belgian beer with a garden dwarf printed on it.
Ooh, that sounds pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, I thought I will try some classic Belgian beers.
Right on.
So, well, maybe it's... Yeah, it tastes okay. It's not my favorite beer ever, but... Maybe I just can't appreciate Belgian beer, the hype or something. But yeah, I'm not like super hyper about it. It's just like, yeah, a wheat beer. It tastes like a wheat beer.
So are you a fan of wheat beers or not?
Nah, I'm not the biggest fan of wheat beer.
Ah, okay. There's a lot of wheat beers that I really like. Blue Moon is one that I was going to have today, but I decided to go with something a little more unique. Storm, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking something chirptastic. I found a bird cider.
Oh?
The name of the cider is called Archimedes. It has got this fantastic, like, pagan owl on the actual can. Oh, this thing is badass. It's got birdie greatness all over it. It's from the Blake's Hard Cider Company. And the description on the can, literally, I have to read this. This is fantastic. The description is, a wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Down below, the people's excited word of a mythic cider and how merry. That combination of vanilla and elderberry.
It was going so well until they decided to plug their own beer.
Yes. But literally.
You're going to have to send me the name of that beer so that I can actually link it in the show notes. If it's related to birds, I will link it in the show notes. Ha ha.
Yes, it's brewed in Armada, Michigan. So it's not far from my nest. I'm going to take a sip.
Classy, right out of a can. He's actually drinking a beer this week, guys. Well, he was drinking one last week, too.
Okay. This is actually pretty tasty. It's actually pretty... The liquid looks pink. It's weird.
What? A pink beer?
It tastes good. It looks pink, though. It's weird. Yeah.
Is it fruity?
It's you can tell it's got berry in it. And I get the hint of vanilla. This is interesting in a good way.
I understood cider as first.
Oh, yeah. So it's like an apple-ish kind of thing. Like, is it a bitter or is it actually sweet?
It's got both. When you first taste it, you taste a little bit of bitter, but then as the flavor gets into your palate, then you taste the sweet.
Gotcha. So it's like a hint of sweet.
Yeah.
When I go to London the week after next week, then I will hopefully have the chance to try a variety of bird beers because they seem like they have a brand that has a lot of bird pictures on. They have a series of bird-themed beer, and I'm really looking forward to drink all of them. Also, they have a woodpecker cider. I tried to grab that for the 11th episode.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Storm, what do you do to kind of stave off the winter time?
Well, I plot the demise of my evil neighbors. Aside from that, what I actually do is I play a series of crazy games with my roommates and other friends. And what we do is we will, when it's negative 20 out, wear shorts and a t-shirt and see who can go out to the mailbox and run back in without freezing their ass off. That's always fun.
No, thank you.
Given that I've lived here all my life, I've got no issue doing it. My one roommate who grew born in Indiana, went to California for a while, kind of got turned into a damn hippie. And now that, you know, he's back, anytime it goes below 40, he's freezing to death. So he doesn't win at that game very much. Another thing we do is we go and watch people ice skate. I don't actually ice skate because I can't even rollerblade to save my life, let alone walk around with sharp objects. Throw snowball fights and such. But my favorite hobby, I guess, during winter months is probably both working on my nests because you're stuck inside anyway, so might as well fix it up, as well as watching movies. I like watching movies, and it's pretty much the only time of year I actually watch TV. I won't turn my TV on all summer because I'm busy outside doing things.
Well, I've got a list of shows for you to watch. Orange is the New Black, Westworld, Better Off Ted, if you haven't seen that. That one's amazing.
Okay.
I'll get things on Netflix, and I'll send you a list. Yeah, that would drive me insane to have to be indoors just all winter, not doing anything. So, like, I do try to get out of the house just as much as I do in the summer, but admittedly, I spend a lot more time just playing video games during the winter.
Yeah.
I get to go skiing like two or three times during the season. I like skiing over snowboarding. It's just kind of what I was raised on. Like, I first took skiing lessons when I was like 7 years old, and they had what were called snow blades, which were just really short skis, like probably only a foot and a half to 2 feet long. And they were so fun because, like, you know, inevitably you're going to fall over and crash and, you know, die essentially. But when you were wearing the snow blades, like, they didn't twist your feet up. You didn't get tangled up in your own feet like you do with really long skis and stuff like that. And you could go so much faster with them for some reason. And it was just hella fun. So I'm hoping to actually track down a pair and buy those this year.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm not a fan of speed stuff.
Well, about the only thing we got for that by me is what people do is we don't have any mountains in Chicagoland. We're pretty flat. But we do have sand dunes. And we've got some big-ass sand dunes. So what people do is we take garbage can lids and we'll go to those and kind of sit on those and act like a bunch of idiots and slide down and crash into trees and shit. And
nice.
That's our redneck skiing, I guess.
No, well, out here in Utah, the mountains are honestly some of the most amazing mountains in the world. And you'll hear that repeated by people who come and visit the mountains, some of the best ski resorts. I think I've mentioned in the past, like, you know, when I've gone skiing and stuff, we've had like people from Germany. We've had people from the Olympics actually just, you know, returning just to hang out on the mountains and go skiing and, you know, get their practice in. I think it's always really funny. The Australians that come visit, one, they absolutely hate winter all the time, but, you know, they will still go skiing. So, you know, you'll be sitting on a ski lift next to this Australian dude and he'll be sitting there complaining his ass off and whining and bitching about the cold. But then he's like, then you catch him going down the hill. They're going like 60 miles an hour on skis and snowboards, just screaming and going, woo! Like it's the best time in the world. And then you get back on the ski lift with him and they're bitching again.
That's Australians. After visiting the country, obviously. That's Australians. Oh my God. Love them to death, though.
It's true.
So what about you, Fleeks? Surely there's some stuff you do in winter.
Aside from bars.
Yes.
Playing video games and doing art. I'm not a fan of cold. I really prefer to, like, I don't like if it's too hot, but I rather like sweat my ass off than freezing it off.
No, I'm completely with you there. I agree.
So I rather go in the desert than on the North Pole.
Yeah, I hate the cold. It's to the point now that I'm convinced that as I get older, one day I will either leave Indiana in the winter and get in an RV or something and travel the country during the winter months, or just move, because this griffin's body and cold, no, ice forming on the feathers is not fun. Mm-mm, nope.
At some point this winter, I am going to take off. I'm probably going to go visit Seattle or something, but I might go to, you know, Monterey, California or something instead, just to get some warmth back into my life. So when that happens, I'll definitely give a shout out to, you know, where I'm going and, you know, try to hit up any furries in that local area. What was I going to say?
That's what happens the best.
No, okay. So I have a very specific way of coping during wintertime when the weather gets too cold and I still can't go outside and do anything. My coping mechanism is margaritas. So I will stockade myself with, you know, margarita mixes, you know, tequilas, limes, etc. And when I look out the window and it's freezing cold outside and I want to go outside, but I can't go outside because it's too cold, I make myself a margarita. I go all a Jimmy Buffett style up in here.
Well, some warm tea isn't bad too. I really like tea. I have a huge collection of different teas.
If it wasn't for the German accent, I'd think you were British right now. Talking about going to pubs, drinking tea. What the hell, man?
But
what happened?
Well, I have to ask something real quick, and I apologize for interrupting. Fleeks, okay. What is the difference between that and what you all do year-round anyway? Because, like, with the British, for example, they use anything as an excuse to drink. I literally had a friend tell me last week his vacuum cleaner broke, so they were going to go to the pub.
It's actually the only time when I really drink beer at the moment is when I visit friends. And that does not happen a lot because most of my of the best friends I have are like 100 kilometers away at least. But I also drink every week when this podcast takes place. Or when I find a new interesting beer, craft beer somewhere in the local shop, and I think I need to try that, and then I try it. But really, drinking I'm only do every time we're recording that.
Okay. You know, here's the thing I don't understand about Britain. So, like, Britain as a whole doesn't have any. They don't really have anything that's actually their own. So all of the beers that are from, you know, that you'd get in a pub in Britain, they're imported from other places. They don't. I've never seen a brewery based out of, you know, Great Britain. There's no culinary taste from Britain. There's no, like, unique, oh, well, this is a unique dish that they have, you know, from London. No, it's all taken from everywhere else. Like,
well,
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Aren't the
British breakfast? Pretty with beans and shit. I mean, I've visited the UK.
I think he talks about beer, and I think stouts are like. So what's typically Britain? At first, toast. Toast is absolutely British. Then we have toast is like the one of the most.
You mean British cooked foods. Bread?
Like sandwich. Sandwich is. Absolutely, I think it's absolutely British. Then mint sauce is absolutely British. And then I think it was Marmite. How is it called?
No, that's Australia.
No, Vegemite.
Vegemite is Australia.
Yeah, okay. But the other one I totally forgot.
Oh no, Marmite on toast. Yeah, you're right.
Marmite on toast is like the British thing you can do. Then, mint sauce, black pudding, white pudding.
Oh, black pudding. I think. Oh my god.
I like black pudding. I like it. I'm actually, but we have something very similar here in Germany too. That's just called Blutwurst. And if you fry it, and I think I have a pretty German taste, but I really like black pudding, or however you pronounce it.
I know when I went to Confuzzled that, because you had sort of like the European EU there of all the different furs in Europe that descended. And the German furs and the Scandinavian furs were always mocking the British for the bar and the breakfast, because we had basically a British breakfast every day. And something that they claim is unique to Britain, I don't know, Fleek, she may answer this better, was they eat a lot of meat for breakfast, but they have a ton of beans. And what absolutely stuns me was, if I eat beans that early in the morning, God forbid if my roommates eat beans that early in the morning, you're asking for liquid nitro to come out of your rump within 45 minutes.
Yeah, you're talking about the English people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Europe at whole, because we don't have... okay, I have to say, the English people, they have like a very opulent breakfast, you know, like with bacon, eggs, and stuff like that, and black pudding, and oh god,
eggs is traditionally American. That's just me.
Yeah, yeah, I think you took it from Hammond eggs. Hammond eggs is like typically English too. I think you just took it with you to America, like a lot. Oh, I think a lot of your culture.
I see how it is. I see what. Right. Okay. Sure. ham and eggs is not really. I guess it is common, like as diners. Like if you go to a diner and have a breakfast there. Mm. But I guess more typically American breakfast would be like steak and eggs. You know, like. We get steak and eggs and potato. Like, you know, we actually have steak for breakfast over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can imagine that.
Steak, but, and don't forget country fried.
Oh.
Country fried chicken. When I had my British friends over at MFF, I took them out to IHOP, and they just could not understand the concept of something country fried. So we got them country fried steak.
And or chicken fried steak. That is just the best.
Yes, they got one of each, and literally their jaw hit the floor saying, "You fry meat." I'm like, "Yes, welcome to America." And like, oh my God. And they about orgasmed over it.
Everything is better deep fried. It just is. Like,
even to
it's unhealthy. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, don't. You know, my arteries are clogging just at the mention of that. But yes.
Oh, that's a thing that's very English too, like, or I think especially Scottish. Mm-hmm. So I think we are talking about whole Britain now. So the Scots are like frying everything, like they frying ice cream, they frying candy bars, they are frying. At least I heard that. I mean, the medias are sometimes giving a bit of a wrong picture, but I somehow in my head it's canon that Scots are frying everything. I mean, yeah.
You probably got that idea from the US. Let's fry everything. Let's fry the candy.
No, I think the Scots like they invented
deep fried Doritos.
Deep fried Oreos.
They're really going crazy with it. They're really going crazy with it. I mean, really, they
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a world where you can share your recipes and, you know, get recipes from all over the world, literally, like, you know, I can go on like All the Cooks and pull up a recipe that, you know, someone is making over in China, like right now, or someone is making in Japan, or, you know, that's being submitted by users in Britain, Scotland, Germany, wherever, and getting those meals traditionally, like, you know, you try them, you fix them up, and they're delicious. They're amazing. So it just works that way where everywhere across the world, you know, we're just sharing recipes. So the joke used to be that, like, America was the mixing pot of the world. Well, the whole world is getting mixing pot, becoming a mixing pot of different cultures just because of the internet at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I personally like to try. I love cooking, and I especially love to cook the Japanese or Chinese kitchen. And then not what you get in the typical Chinese restaurant, like, I don't know, chop suey or something. That's boring, and it's mostly not what you really get in China. I like to cook as authentic as possible, so I go to get imported stuff, and I really try to get recipes that are as authentic as possible. And yeah. The problem is sometimes you have to, like, improvise a bit because you can't get all the ingredients, especially if it's fresh meat or fishes or something. But in the end, I think it's especially the Chinese kitchen has so much to offer, and at Chinese restaurants we get like a reduced, like, westernized part of the it's only Chinese inspired, but it's mostly like a western dish, you know what I mean?
Yeah I do. No, I totally get it. Like, I love, like, fried rice. That is, like, I wish I could make fried rice well. I can't. I've tried for life.
You can't do that. Only the people at the Chinese restaurants can do that.
Right?
Yeah,
but
only they can do that.
That does actually remind me. So we were talking in chat a couple weeks ago about, like, you know, our favorite meals, and like if we were to have like a bird life cooking show kind of thing. What are your guys' favorite meals? Like, top of the line, like, if you could eat it just about every day, probably.
Oh, God.
And yeah, you can name one or two, like the first two to pop into your head.
Cashew ramen is the best, like homemade cashew ramen with real self-made ramen noodles and I think 4 hours long broiled pork. Like,
wow.
you're like on low temperature, you give it in like soy sauce and ginger and garlic and onions and stuff, and you cook it in that for at least 4 hours on low temperature, and oh God, it's so good. It's like it's falling apart. And oh God, and then,
so
then you give it to
pulled pork kind of thing, except yeah,
it's not really pulled pork. Pulled pork would do it in, like, you know, it falls apart. But yeah, you have a very soft meat. It's like butter. You know, you can cut through it like butter.
Yeah,
but I already made pulled pork myself, and oh God, it was too good too. I like slow cooked meats. That's pretty good.
Okay. It's very American of me, but I don't have the patience to do a lot of slow cooking. Storm, what do you like to fix?
Just what's funny that you said that, Cor, is while yes, most Americans don't have patience, slow cooking is one of the easiest ways to make something amazing and also be lazy, because you can make that, chop it up, put everything in there, and just set it to absolutely, you know, cook over
but
8, 12
hours.
It
requires planning ahead, and I hate that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's sort of our generation's
That's
fault,
on me.
But,
yeah, you know, that's me.
Thank you, McDonald's. But So I have to, I've been thinking about it. I can only narrow it down to three. I have a litany's list of things I love, but these are probably my top three. If like I got to pick them before I, you know, was executed at jail or something, here's what I would pick. Being from Chicago, I have to get a deep dish pizza. I'm sorry. It's what we love. It's our culture here. It's amazing. And if you've never had it in your life, you need to have it.
Pizza in your blood.
Yes, we have pizza.
Runs like marinara sauce.
Pretty
well,
much.
Well, pizza is a bit overrated. I think pizza is like a nice dish.
Oh,
it's
no,
like
no.
A snack dish.
We haven't had American pizzas yet.
Fleeks?
When you come to America, you're going to get an addiction to pizzas that you've never had before.
Fleeks?
I heard the most Germans I asked who were in America said that American pizzas are terrible. Really, that's
wonderful.
Consent.
Okay. Yes, when you go and have a deep dish Chicago pizza, even the German furs that join me in MFF, like, orgasmed over it. It's one slice and you're full. Greatness. And to all you that are listening from New York City that think it's a pie, go fuck yourself. It's pizza.
You see, I've had Chicago-style deep dish pizza before, and, you know, from, like, Chicago. I find it overrated. I really do.
Well, yeah, I don't like thick pizzas. You know what I mean, like with the thick bottom. I don't know.
Chicago style. See, we have something called Chicago style thick crust, so you wouldn't like that. The deep dish I'm talking about has a thin buttery crust, and you've got your toppings, and then they put the sauce on top. So that's sort of the traditional Chicago. But
what else do you like to eat, Storm?
Okay, the other two things I love. One is unique to Chicago, and that is the Chicago style beef and sausage sandwich, which is a piece of usually semi-spicy to spicy sausage with Italian beef or roast beef, depending what you call them, around it. And then they do something what they call baptizing it, which is where they take the whole sandwich and dip it in the meat sauce. And then they take it out and then they put cheese and they put sweet and hot peppers on it. And
Jesus, fuck.
It's utterly amazing. Yes, it's utterly amazing. I will happily take you out for this if you ever visit me, Court. It's fantastic. So it's that. And the other thing I love is just a good old-fashioned steak sandwich, particularly if it's made from ribeye steak that's been slow-cooked, so it's very, very moist and juicy. Put some mozzarella on there, same thing, maybe some peppers. I like to actually add some sautéed mushrooms on mine as well.
Hell yeah.
And, oh, it's one bite of that, and you're in seventh heaven.
Yeah, I really need to try the American sandwich culture. Because especially what I would like to try is a New York style sandwich with that pastrami or how that kind of meat is called.
Pastrami? Yeah.
Pastrami, yeah. I never had pastrami. Even I live in Europe where pastrami should be like easier to get. We don't get it here for some reason. It's easier to get it in the US for some reason.
It's because we have an obsession with beef.
Well, and in the US, even some things that people consider to be German or Mexican or whatnot are actually more American than you think. Case in point, real quick, when people think of, say, tacos and burritos, that's actually Texican. True Mexicans that are from the heart of Mexico, they don't eat that. So when people think of a lot of these Mexican dishes,
they can put a lot of things in tortillas, though.
They do. But a lot of these traditional dishes we think about up here came from Texas and that part of the country, and that's just ingenuity happening in that area.
More of a Southwest kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly.
On that note, one of my favorite meals is definitely like burritos and tacos. I actually love soft shell tacos, you know, fix them up yourself kind of thing.
Right.
That's number one on my list. I think number two would have to be Oh, I'm such American trash for this, but probably pizza. Like, legitimately, truly pizza.
I love pizza. I really love pizza. I really love pizza, too.
You're the better. We have one restaurant out here called the Pie Pizzeria, and they just load you up on so much cheese that the entire next day I'm sitting there not wanting to move because, like, I'm just greasy and stiff because there's so much cheese.
I have to say pizza is one of my favorite dishes too, but I really see it more as a snack, so something I eat too much, so it can't be like a favorite dish. I don't know. But okay. I think my second favorite dish is like a really good burger. I love burgers. So I love it if they are a special I love chili cheeseburgers with like nachos on them. You know what I mean? Like extra nachos. Ooh. That gives a bit of more crunch and especially like cheddar with jalapenos. That's
ooh, Fleeks, good. Have you ever tried it with salsa instead?
Salsa?
Yeah, put some, like, I like spicier things, so some spicier salsa, but you can use regular salsa as well. And your nachos on top of a burger.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's so fucking good. Oh my god.
I love salsa.
I think one of my favorite thing, also, I don't even know if I can rate it, but one of the best things is like a burrito from a burrito stall in Berlin. They have like the best burritos I ever had with a guacamole, habanero. Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Guacamole. You're saying it right, but you're saying it wrong at the same time, and I love you for it.
Guacamole cheese and the funny thing is, their meat burritos aren't even the best. They have like vegan burritos that taste so fucking good. You won't believe me, but I really love their vegan burritos. And they have a very, very tasty salsa, a very tasty habanero salsa. And habaneros are like my favorite chilies ever. But I'm like eating it. And then I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Oh, fuck. And, oh, God. You know, because it's so hot. And
maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe there's some truth in that vegan stuff. I don't know. I know Burger King ran a test. This was back in, like, the 90s, I think, where they actually introduced a vegan Whopper patty that they claim tasted better than the regular Whopper, and in blind taste tests where they didn't tell people which one was what, people loved the veggie patty thing, but when they went to actually put it on the menu, no one ordered it because when you go to a restaurant and want a hamburger, most people want beef.
I actually was vegan for 2 years, and that was a time when I extended my horizon, if you know what I mean, to food, and I learned so much stuff. I improved my cooking in that time because I learned how to like use ingredients to do anything you want. I produced my own replacements for meat and stuff, and it was pretty amazing. But I stopped it because I missed burgers. I like real burgers. But yeah.
You were gonna say, Cor?
So currently out in California, there is what they have called the Impossible Burger. I'm trying to look up what it was made out of, what it is made out of. But it was actually I don't know if it was off of Kickstarter, but it was a kind of, you know, Kickstarter-esque backing sort of thing. Like, they needed investors, they needed supporters. Bill Gates himself reportedly donated something like $100 or $200 million to the backing of this burger. It's a vegan burger.
I think most vegan burgers are like trash. I don't know. They just don't do it right for some reason. But the burrito I was talking about was like with soy meat chunks, that were like marinated and stuff. And believe me, they really taste fucking good. I couldn't do the same thing.
I can't find out what it's made out of, but the Impossible Burger itself, they've been doing kind of not blind testing, but like full on just like, hey, come try this burger. Even if you're not vegan, come try it. Like, we promise you it's just as good. And it has had really critically acclaimed reports, you know, from just everyday people going in, trying the Impossible Burger, and it tastes just like meat to them, even though it is actually just made out of 100% like plant-based material. Just kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Even,
like, I couldn't do the whole vegan thing.
Well,
yeah.
Anyways, guys, we are actually about 45 minutes in now, so do we want to move on to the games or something?
Yeah, I do you have a game this time, Core?
I do not.
I have the numbers and birds and numbers again.
Oh,
like
dear.
Where you're like guessing. They're like guessing numbers to birds, you know what I mean?
Right.
And this time I have actually record birds, like not only one bird, but like the fastest, the highest, and the longest flight of birds. It's three questions, so yeah, try to guess it. Try to be as close as possible to the truth.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And at first, I want you to guess the maximum speed of a peregrine.
Of the unladen swallow?
No, the peregrine.
Of the unladen swallow. Got it. Is it carrying a coconut? This is important.
You're disqualified. No, yeah, no. So, Storm can start, I think, because last time he was like the last one to guess.
The maximum speed of the peregrine.
Yeah.
Peregrine. I'm going to say probably 50 miles an hour.
50 miles an hour, the maximum speed of a peregrine. Okay. Take in consideration that's the. I have to be fair, maybe you did not get it before. Record birds. The peregrine is the fastest bird. So maybe you reconsider your answer.
Okay, if it's the fastest, maybe. Okay, I'll up it to something about.
In miles per hour, so, yeah.
Miles per hour, what, about 90 then? 80, 90? I'll say 90.
Okay, say 90. What do you say, Cor?
I think it was something closer to like 240 miles an hour.
Oh God, Cor, you're like hit the black. You know what I mean. Your bullseye is there. It's 240 miles per hour, or 385 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, this is when they're dive bombing and they're like, you know, aiming for another bird, basically. So yeah, absolute and point precision stoop, yeah. And absolute speed.
In their hunting stoop, yeah, right. That's
okay. Well, see, I did flying speed, not diving speed, but that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like the maximum speed of a peregrine. Like that's
take into consideration, like, you know, diving speed is not just like falling speed. It's their they're forcing themselves to go faster than what gravity would naturally have them fall at.
They do it actively because they need to do it actively because everything falls at the same speed and they have to like use their wings to get even faster.
And that's roughly one third the speed of sound. Just fun fact I'm going to throw out there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So you probably knew it already.
That's quite impressive.
So, and because Core like won the last round, I will.
Can I get a free bird crew t-shirt?
No. No. I will let start Core now to guess it. So you have a chance to say lower or higher, Storm. So the maximum flying height of a Rupel's Griffin Vulture. It's like the highest flying bird ever. And I want you to guess it in feet.
In feet? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
How many feet are in a mile? Oh fuck me. Shit. Okay, let me think here. So
use Google this... to convert it.
No, I'm also trying to think of like what the flying, you know, a general altitude for planes is. I have no idea why a vulture would be the highest flying bird ever, because they're scavengers. There's no reason for them to go like, you know, 20,000 feet in the air where...
Well, it depends on where they're living. Like, I think over the sea level, that's the thing.
Okay, so... I'm guessing from ground to air, regardless of, like, you know, location.
No, it's regardless of location. It's like above the sea level. So the highest, it flies the highest above the sea level. But the air is everywhere thin. So yeah, you know what I mean.
Let me Google 1.5 miles to feet. One sec.
Yeah, do that. Why don't you have to just an easy system where you can like...
Shut up. No, come on. Don't need none of this imperial versus metric bullshit up in here. I'm going to guess 8,000 feet.
8,000 feet. So what are you guessing, Mr. Griffin? Higher or lower? You don't
Honestly, I'm going to say higher.
Higher. And you're right, Storm, because they are flying like... stay in your seats. They are flying 37,000 feet over the sea level.
What the fuck?
That's like 11,300 meters. That's the highest measured fly of that kind of vulture. And that's because they are living like in Africa, in like the mountains, and but they also live in the woodlands, so it's not only because they live in the mountains, but yeah, they can fly so high, and that's, and the air is really thin up high there, and so that's so a
I don't think that's quite fair. You said what, 37,000 feet up?
Yeah,
the troposphere is at 39,000 feet, sir.
Yeah, that's why I say that that bird is amazing. And
look at my bird, really, my bird is amazing.
Car, I don't know why that bird is flying that high. I don't know, but maybe it wants to get closer to the stars, or
maybe space bird.
It's a vulture, and I really don't know why they have to be that up high. Really not.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense, but they are like, hey, we watchers have to have some title, and maybe that's why they are like that. I don't know.
Okay, but, fair enough.
So, and now, next we are coming to the Arctic Tern. That's the bird with the longest flying distance when they migrate. And I want to know, in miles, how many miles are they like flying? And this time we're starting with Core again. No, we're starting with Storm this time, right? Storm.
No, what is the bird that...
Arctic Tern.
Arctic Tern is the bird? Oh, jeez.
I'm going to say...
It's the bird that flies the longest distances.
I'm going to say about 5,000 miles.
5,000 miles, say Storm. What do you say, Cor?
I'm going to go higher. I don't even know the circumference of the Earth, but let's just say 7,500 miles.
7,500.
Which is probably way too
many. Okay, what did you say, Storm?
I said around 5,000 miles.
Okay, I have to calculate fastly, but... Oh, no, Core is closer. It's 56,000 miles.
That's, like, right in between what we've said. So, like, holy cow.
Yeah, but you're closer still. You're, like, 20,000 closer, about 20,000. Okay. So it's almost 60. Yeah, you know what I mean. And it's 90,000 kilometers for our listeners that do not have that imperial measurement system. So yeah, and that was the final question. And yeah, Core won with 1 point.
Yay!
That's the only way to win that game with 1 point, because he only had three questions. So
okay, are you ready for the National Bird of the Week?
Let's do this. I'm hyped.
All right.
I'm hyped.
I've got actually two questions, one for each of you. So I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Fleeks.
Mm-hmm.
What country uses the golden eagle as their national bird?
Germany.
No, actually, one of the national birds, Germany has more national birds, and one of them is the white stork. But the golden eagle isn't that USA, and like 10 other countries. I think golden eagles are very much used as national birds. But I think you have. No, it's not the golden eagle in America. It's the bald eagle. Canada, maybe?
Core is correct. The golden eagle is one of the national birds of Germany.
Okay.
You're German. How do you not... How did... What?
Because it's probably not golden eagle in Germany, but I tried to translate it.
That's possible, but... All right, yeah. So for you, for you, Core, and of course, Fleeks, if you know the answer, since that's what you did before, you can shout it out.
Sorry.
What country has the Gallic rooster as their national bird?
Oh, should I shout out the answer? I know it.
Okay. Let's say...
I think I know it.
Panama.
All right, Core, you say Panama. What do you say, Fleeks?
I say French.
You are correct.
Of fucking course the French would have a rooster as their country bird. What the shit? What the fuck is the matter with you, France?
Well, that's like a very pompous rooster. It's a special kind of rooster. And also, for your information, because I will play the German game with you again, the golden eagle is called, in Germany, is called stone eagle.
Since it's a tie, I have one final. And this is for either one of you, so whoever knows, throw it out there. What country has the national bird of the Eurasian oyster catcher?
Of the what?
Eurasian oyster catcher.
I don't get the last one. Oyster catcher? What?
Oyster?
Oyster. Like the fish, the shellfish.
Yes.
Oyster catcher.
Yes.
Wait. Give me a second to translate that in the German. Oyster catcher. Austin Fisher. Okay, it does not help. It's the Eastern European.
You think it's Eastern European. I'll give you a hint just to make it a little easier for you both.
It's in Russia.
You think it's Russia. Okay.
Russia.
Okay. I want to guess Vietnam.
I want to reconsider and say Norwegian. I somehow just imagined that Russia probably has some woodpecker or something, because they're like crazy about the woodpeckers. So I go with something that actually has a coast, because oyster catcher sounds like something that would live on a coast, and I say Norwegian.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
What about you, Cor?
Vietnam, final answer.
Neither one of you are correct. The correct answer was the Faroe Islands.
Never heard about that country. Never heard about that country.
They don't exist. You're making them up.
Okay, and yes, it was a tie. You both will have to share the trophy.
It's mine. Give it to me. No, mine.
Okay, I heard about that island.
So, the first question we have from our loyal listeners comes from Elia Toasty J, one of my favorite Blue Jays ever. And here's the question. Do you know why Blue Jays are blue? I'll let Cor have the first crack at it.
Because they're little tiny thieves and they need to blend in with the sky. So they naturally inherited the blue color so they could steal what they needed and then take off.
I think it's mainly because they're... I have to say like blue is one of... It's a very unnatural color. And it's really rare that nature produces blue. And I think it's because they're like... I don't know. I can't even explain it. It's impossible. They just want to fool you. They aren't really blue, I guess. They're just like pretending to be.
Okay.
No, there's birds that are actually blue.
They're all fooling us.
My theory is this. See, back in the beginning of time when the first birds were walking the planet and learning to fly, a bird really pissed off a magical witch and stole her blueberries. So to curse this bird forever, she took the bird and immersed it in a blueberry soup. And forevermore, this bird became known as the Blue Jay.
But in order for that to happen, it would have had to escape somehow.
Otherwise,
it would just be a dead bird that was turned into a soup.
It was magic. They took the bird and dunked it in a few times and then said, "You are forever cursed." Luckily, I think Blue Jays look very good, so it's all good.
Well, I think they are just like depressive creatures, and they have like plume. They have like changing plume color that shows their emotion, but you ever only see blue. Because
Elijah, get back to us on the real reason why Blue Jays are blue.
Yeah.
Blue. Because now they're all really addicted to the song. Their theme song is blue.
I'm done. Show's over. Bye.
Bye bye. That was Bird Life episode 9, and it was the last episode ever.
Oh my god.
So, what's the next question?
The next question comes from Feedy, and the question is this. If you have the skills, would you create your own operating system, like Bird OS? What would it look like?
No.
I'll start with Fleeks.
I said I already answered with...
No. What about you, Cor?
It would be the buggiest operating system in the world, but the thing is, you know, we wouldn't mind it being buggy because so many birds eat bugs.
Oh, yeah.
I would definitely create it, and some of the icons would feature a variety of different bugs and chirp noises. And for when it crashed, what you would see appear on your screen is a series of bird poop icons indicating the error message.
I think it would have a lot of beeping noises and don't do anything really, but you can like click and you will get like chirps and I don't know.
It would be a very useless operating system. All it would do is like sleep for like 14 hours and then the other like you'll just be chirping and not actually functioning.
It will never shut up. So like if you put your headphones on, you will be like, and it will like spam you with messages like there's an error, but it's like a feature, not a bug. Or a bug. I mean, bugs. Birds do like bugs. Like
this one comes from Regde. He did ask us this in the past, but I want us to try it again. And that is, make a sentence/short story together, but each of you can only say one word at a time.
This never ends well for me.
Who starts?
And I'm And I'm going to start.
Okay. And then we'll what order will we go in, though?
Me, and then Fleeks, and then you, Core. And we'll keep bouncing around for like a minute or two. All right, here's how I'm starting. Okay, babies.
Never.
Eat.
Any.
Grumpy.
What? Grumpy, what?
Peregrine.
Pasta.
Because.
It.
Tastes, I don't know.
Chirpy.
What?
I don't know. But is chirpy? What?
All right.
Do we have anything else we wanted to do?
Bird is the word, and I think.
Bird is always the word. Well, I have one last shout out I want to give. After the episode last week, Jugo made a generous donation to the show as well, above the, you know, if you enjoy an episode, donate a dollar kind of thing. So this time I wrote him a song. So.
Oh,
no. Buckle up, kids. Jesus.
I will like clap to it. No.
Okay, give me a second here.
He is a fucking instrument. Jesus Christ.
I wanna give a shout out to my good buddy Juco. With your feathers so bright pink, I need to wear shades. You cry that you're purple till you're blue in the beak rope. But we still love you from the dawn till the daylight fades.
My ears are bleeding. They're bleeding.
No. That was a very unique interpretation of playing guitar.
my poor guitar is just like, why do I only get used when you want to abuse me?
So,
and remember, birds, if you want to participate in this glorious experience, remember to kiss a bird after the episode. It's only a dollar.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to donate more than a dollar, I may just write a song for you.
That would be my turn unfortunately.
Storm. Yeah, it's next time it's storms. Turn. And if you pledge more than €1, I mean dollar, if you pledge more than $1, then we are glad to do something creative for you and... Because we really appreciate it. But we that doesn't mean we do not appreciate $1 donations. We are like loving you for every cent you're putting in our bird.
It really does. Like a dollar, you know, it goes back towards, you know, paying for the server fees and web space and all that.
Yeah.
And
we're getting rich on that.
So that's kind of why we have the, you know, if you enjoy an episode, kiss the bird, donate a dollar, you know. If you don't like an episode, it also kind of tells us, like, if we don't receive any donations, that episode really sucked, and we shouldn't do the things we did during that episode. So it's also a way to give feedback, too, with your money. Yeah.
That's right. And so if you love an episode, give us a couple of shinies. That'll tell us how much we appreciate
it. Yeah.
Other than that, you can always catch us on Twitter, Bird Life Podcast, Facebook, Bird Life Podcast. The website is just bird.life, no.com, just bird.life.
Yep.
And you can subscribe to us on Google Play Music, iTunes, or just via the RSS feed.
And next time we will have our Christmas episode. And we hope you will like listen to us in the right mood.
Yes, we'll be so very much, cheery.
So much eggnog, so little time.
Yeah, I don't have
I think eggnog. We all need to agree now that we need to get eggnog. Yes.
Yes, yes.
But eggnog. I will have like Kinder Punch.
Oh, boy. Well, once again, thank you for joining us, and always be beeping.
Always be.
Always be beeping. That's an order from the Birdanian government. We'll be right back.
Bring your beef.
It's on, mother clucker. It's on. So after the show's over, you, me, back alley. We're at it.
At the flagpole. I don't know why we have a flagpole in the back alley, but it's there.
All right, hang on one second.
Okay.
Is he visiting, like, the bathroom?
I think I heard someone, like, knocking at his door. I don't know.
It's the
SWAT, and he will get swatted now. I just made a phone call, you know. No, I'm just kidding. That would make a pretty good blooper.
The sound of the SWAT team busting down my door in the U.S. is not quite as entertaining as it would be in Germany. See, we actually have police officers with guns here. It makes things more exciting. So, you both are boneheads.